What's up, friends? It is Lyle Lucky Lewis, a.k.a. Sean Liu, coming back at you with one more episode of my comics novel podcast. Hey, I thank you guys for tuning in. I thank you guys for joining me. I thank you guys for listening on the replay. Hey, everybody that's listening, everybody who's supporting, I thank you so much. Go ahead, do me a favor, and go ahead and favorite this podcast so that in this way, when I make these new episodes, you are one of the first people to get the message that says, hey, I'm putting out more stuff for you, okay? I know I told you guys that the second episode of Divided Kingdom is coming. Yes, it is coming. I will deliver on my promise. I will not let you guys down. Give me one more day, one or two more days, and I assure you, that bad boy, once that bad boy is done, because I'm like configuring the script, I had rewrote a bunch of stuff, because I wanted to make sure that, you know, it is up to standard of what I am delivering for you guys. I want to make sure that it is worth the wait, okay? And I assure you, it's good stuff that's happening in this next episode. Just stay tuned. Trust me, you're going to love it. And it will. I give you my word, it will be worth the wait, okay? So just listen up. And by all means, in a couple of days, that bad boy is coming right at you. The second episode of Divided Kingdom. But right now, we're going to go into the second episode of Princess Jester and Queen's Knight. Now, remember, Princess Jester and Queen's Knight, this podcast is basically, it's a rough draft of the actual book. If anyone ever orders the book, those that have ordered the book already, and anyone who orders the book from further on, will notice that there are a lot of different changes made from this script to the book. So, like I said, this is just a rough draft. This is just like, I just put this down to paper so I can get my ideas out. And then from this rough draft, I reconstructed the actual book. So, by all means, you know, if you want an order of the book, by all means, place your order at LRLEWIS at lewtown.online. That's LRLEWIS. At lewtown.online, okay? Not .com, .online, all right? Let's make sure that we remember that, okay? So, if anybody would like a copy of the rough draft, you want the copy of the rough draft, you want the exclusive copy of the rough draft, and you want a copy of the actual book, I would be happy to oblige to that too. But even understand, even with the rough draft, you know, for you guys here on my comics novel page, I am even reading this, and I'm reading it in different ways and stuff like that. So there may be small little variations of how I read it to you as opposed to what's actually on the paper. So, you know, I'll get it to you, and by all means, you guys can sit down, you can enjoy, you can compare. You know, send me a shout out, say, hey, look, you know, let me know what you think. I mean, I'm open to constructive criticism. Let me know, you know, hey, look, you know, man, I like this, from the rough draft, and I like that from, and if you could take those two and combine them, and then, hey, look, I love to hear feedback of my work, all right? As long as it's constructive criticism. But, you know, hey, you know, if haters are out there, by all means, bring them on. But either way, you know, I'm here to entertain, and I hope that you guys are properly entertained. And if you are, please, by all means, go ahead and favorite this podcast so that then this way you guys can keep hearing more great content from me and from Lewtown Productions and from our comics novel crew. Okay, so without further ado, chapter two of The Princess's Jester, The Queen's Knight.
Sir Cramer, we have breached the kingdom walls, a soldier said, saluting the head knight.
Prepare my horse.
That's outside with all your effects, replied the other knight.
This tent is your responsibility. You are not to leave, and all word that comes to this tent is to be kept by you and not rehearsed to anyone save myself or the king. Do you understand?
Yes, sir, replied the soldier.
I will be back soon. Should the king make it back before I do, tell him what you have told me and that I went to secure our position.
Kramer was atop his horse by the time he was done speaking and rode off. As he was riding towards the battle, he was thinking to himself,
tonight, two new lives will come from war, and I shall make my place in the kingdom.
When he arrived at the outer parameters of the enemy castle, there was even more chaos. Fire and boulders were all over the place when Kramer stopped and looked around. Suddenly, someone grabbed Kramer, pulling him off the horse very forcefully to the ground. The two started to scuffle and fight, rolling around and trying to gain the upper hand on each other. Finally, Kramer wound up the victor on top of his adversary with a dagger drawn.
Is that any kind of way to say thanks to the man that saved your life?
Kramer finally stopped and recognized him as his old friend, which answered to the name Scrag.
Scrag, you were almost killed.
No, my friend.
Then he looked behind him and pointed.
You were.
When Kramer looked back, he saw that his horse had been crushed by a boulder. Kramer got up and helped Scrag to his feet.
They have one hell of an artillery spotter on those catapults,
said Scrag as he reconfigured his gear.
What of the breach?
Asked Kramer.
The men are inside doing what they do best, but we did lose a great portion of the front line that we're in.
How so?
They had explosives waiting on right inside the perimeters of the wall triggered by the tower guards. Blew a lot of our men away, but opened the hole for us to proceed further.
Scrag, do you think you can get me into the castle?
It would be my pleasure, sir, but stick tight to me. Once I get you in, would you like for me to accompany you?
Scrag asked.
As long as your presence will not be needed more on the battlefield, then I would have it no other way.
Good then. We shall use my horse, sir.
And with a snap of his fingers, a horse started running towards them, appearing out of nowhere. But this was no ordinary horse, for its mane and its eyes burned with a blue flaming light. Each breath that came from its nostrils came out like steam. Its tails looked like chains braided hanging from its backside, and it had a glowing blue horn coming from its forehead.
I see you finally got that unicorn you were after, said Kramer. He looks terrifying.
That's the look I was going for, sir, said Scrag,
as he jumped onto its back.
I mean, if it was a plain old frilly unicorn, what would suit my disposition?
Scrag asked, as he held out a hand to help Kramer up.
I guess not,
Kramer said, chuckling as he took Scrag's hand to climb up. Once Kramer was mounted, he said,
Well, let's see what this baby can do.
Scrag pulled down some goggles over his eyes and smiled.
Yah! And they started running, and a set of blue flaming wings appeared as they took off to the skies. Hang on! Said Scrag to Kramer, yelling over his shoulder. Then the unicorn shot straight up into the skies through some clouds, and when it came back down, the battlefield was clearly in view, and they were descending upon it. Once the unicorn touched the ground, many attackers came running towards them. Bows and arrows and spears and daggers all went flying over, but never touched either one of them. The unicorn plowed through enemy and fellow soldiers alike, as to lose no momentum. There were hundreds of enemy soldiers fighting in front of the breach, but none were able to stop Scrag and his unicorn. Right before the unicorn came in full contact with the soldiers, it disappeared, leaving the enemy soldiers a bit startled and distracted. The men looked around briefly, and then one of the soldiers screamed, "It burns! Ah, it burns!" When the men looked to see what was happening, they found that the unicorn's disappearance left them all on fire, burning with a deep blue flame that could not be put out. The enemy soldiers lost focus of the battle, trying to put out the flames, leaving opportunity just enough for Kramer's soldiers to get the upper hand. Then the unicorn, Scrag, and Kramer appeared within the walls of the castle ground, charging the doors. Scrag put out a hand in front of him and created a force field around them, which acted as a battering ram. And with the speed and the force of the unicorn,
It made getting through the castle doors an easy task. Once inside the castle, Kramer looked around.
Sir, shall I accompany you?
Asked Scrag.
Only if you can keep this force field up around us.
Stick tight to me, said Scrag, and stay behind me until I say otherwise.
Kramer nods, and the two start to move further into the castle. Soldiers and knights came running up to them to meet them for battle, but the force field had various effects on each of them, tossing some into the walls, shocking others, and making other ones disappear altogether. Scrag looked behind him.
Sir, look out!
He shouted, switching positions with Kramer as he held one hand up to stop a volley of arrows. Then using his other hand, he shoots out a massive fireball that within the confined space of the hallway was impossible to escape. Turning back around, he shoots a glowing light at the other, out of the other hand, causing all the soldiers and knights to stick to the walls and ceiling.
After you, sir,
Scrag said, standing out of the way, letting Kramer through. Kramer nodded and kept walking.
How far within the castle do we have to go, sir?
To the Queen's safe quarters, replied
Kramer.
Hidden, I take it,
asked Scrag.
Only to those who don't know. Follow me,
said Kramer. He walked to a giant painting and pointed to a female in the picture and said,
take me to her.
And a door appeared from nowhere within the painting.
Shall I wait here, sir?
Asked Scrag.
Yes, but I need you to do something for me. I need you to count to 100 and find a way to bust in the room and make sure something horrible happens to the queen and make this painting disappear when you do what needs to be done.
Scrag nodded humbly and watched as Kramer walked through the door. Once the door closed, Scrag waved his hand over the painting and the painting disappeared. Kramer appeared in the middle of a room.
My love,
a woman's voice said in the distance.
You found me.
Nothing would keep me from an occasion like this,
Kramer said as he approached the woman sitting in the middle of a bed and took her by the right hand.
What gift have you given me?
A girl, strong and healthy.
She stopped talking as the room was shaken.
What was that?
Never mind, Kramer said. Probably a battering ram or something of that manner, a boulder or a catapult or something.
What of my husband?
The woman asked in a serious manner abruptly.
Your king has fallen, m'lady,
he said, standing up and bowing.
Then we are free. Finally free to be together, said the queen. Finally, my love. Now, we have full freedom,
she said as Kramer picked up the child. Meanwhile, outside the room, Scrag was trying to concentrate on counting.
29, 2010, 2011, 2012, 2013, 2014. This task would have been a lot easier if I had learned to count above 20. 25.
Oh, to hell with this, he said, frustrated.
100.
Then he put his hand up to the wall where the painting was and it reappeared. And he pointed to the same picture of the queen that Kramer had pointed to.
Take me to her,
he ordered, and the door appeared before him. He put his hand up to the door, and a ball of light started to appear in his hand. He closed his eyes, and he said,
reveal.
And his green eyes were now glowing yellow, as he now was able to see everything and everyone in the room, even though the door was closed. He pulled the hand back that was accumulating the energy, and as he pulled the hand back, the energy grew both in size and in heat, to the point where it started to melt the door. Meanwhile, on the inside of the room, Kramer was asking the queen,
so, what have you decided to name her?
Well, I was hoping we could choose the name together. I was thinking...
The
Queen's joy and smile turned to confusion as she started focusing on the door.
Is there someone else coming in?
Asked Kramer.
There shouldn't be, no,
replied the Queen. Kramer took the child and hid himself on the side of the door, moving out of the way just in the nick of time before a purple ball of light came flying through the door. Kramer took cover for himself and the child as debris from the door and chunks of the wall went flying across the room directly at the princess and her maid. Kramer heard brief screams, but nothing more, except the wall behind her falling apart. When Kramer looked back at the Queen, he saw nothing but two skeletons burned to the point where they could not even fall apart. They were burned to petrification. Then Scrag came in the room.
Did I get her, sir?
Took you long enough, said Kramer.
Sorry, sir. I never learned to count to 100.
Kramer did a double take at Scrag.
And why didn't you tell me that from the beginning?
He said, slightly frustrated.
Because you ordered me to count. You didn't ask if I knew how.
Kramer just looked at him confused and with a loss of words. Then he just shook his head as to forget.
Never mind. I have what I came for.
The child?
Asked Scrag.
Yes. And thanks to you and the Queen, the rightful heir of the Haelden Kingdom. She will bring me great favor with the King and secure my place in two kingdoms.
She is a cutie, sir,
said Scrag. Kramer smiles.
Yes, she is.
Looking down at her while she's sleeping.
And she is also...
Kramer paused and looked at Scrag.
Your goddaughter.
Scrag hesitates for a moment, looking around as if there were another person present.
Are you sure?
What's the worst that can happen, old friend?
Well, there is a chance, Scrag replied, being cut off by Kramer putting his hand on his shoulder.
I didn't intend for you to answer. Just do me one favor.
What is that?
Asked Scrag.
Never tell her of what happened today. And be there for her always.
That's two things, said Scrag.
Kramer smiled.
So what do you say?
Of course. I'd be honored, Sir Kramer.
Hold her.
Kramer shoves her into his arms before he could object. Scrag looks at the child, who is still sound asleep.
May you got that. If the king of this kingdom was killed, then that makes this little tyke just a casualty of war, right?
Oh, not so, my friend.
Kramer replies, somewhat impressed that Scrag would have a thought that complex. Then he pulls out a scroll and he unrolled it.
I know your reading skills are rather weak, but this scroll contains the king and queen's signature. That should anything happen to them, the kingdom goes to this child. No one need not know that I am her true father.
Two questions. One, how do you know you're the real father? I mean, for all you know, it could be the king's baby. And two, how am I supposed to not lie to her when you have already tangled a web of lies at this point?
Scrag asks in a confused manner.
I have my ways. You just worry about taking care of your goddaughter until I send word for her,
said Kramer.
Yes, sir,
said Scrag.
Don't worry. She'll be in the best of hands.
As far as if she's mine, added Kramer. I know she is because I found out that the marriage between them was only to unite two dying kingdoms. One dying by the way of lack of poverty, and the other dying from loss of men from a war that they won. But it was the cost when none of the soldiers came home to return. The marriage was made based on lies and assumptions. lies that the king and queen actually loved each other, and assumptions that they were failing in their attempts to produce children, or should I say the assumption that they were even coming together to try to conceive. There was no passion in the relationship, no lust for each other. There were only duties and formalities, rituals and routines. While the queen would not have minded the interest from her husband, the king, he wanted nothing to do with his wife, the queen, or with human women for that matter.
What was his affection towards, sir? Asked Greg.
Well,
replied Kramer as he cleared his throat and said,
female elves.
What?
Replied Scrag in disgust.
How does one even develop an unnatural lust like that?
Not sure, but supposedly it's addictive. So addictive that it becomes all that one craves. The king was so obsessed with Lady Elves that when the king found out that the queen was pregnant, he actually rejoiced because it made him look the part of being in love with her, and like they were actually trying to conceive and have a child and were successful. But the hidden part of that story is that the queen was sentenced to death once the child was to be born. This way it looks like she gave her life in childbirth.
So where do you come into the story? Asked Greg.
A year ago, I was given a mission by the king to spy out other nations. This was the first place I came to, and just so happens I was in the right place at the right time. The queen was at the cemetery paying her respects to her parents when suddenly some bandits came out from the forest, trying to attack her. Whether they knew she was the queen or not is unknown to me, but without hesitation, I jumped in and fought them off and came out the victor. I had no idea she was the queen at the time, so when I asked if there was any way she could repay me, I naturally asked for information. About the kingdom, about the queen, the army, etc. Then I asked if she would be so kind as to accompany me to dinner that I may thank her properly for her help. She agreed. I got cleaned up and we went to dinner. She was already anxious from years of neglect from her husband, so me having gotten this far was of no difficulty. And once she arrived, well, let's just say we went straight to dessert. It wasn't until after she found out that she was pregnant that she revealed to me that she was the queen. It was her that planned for her husband to be set up, that her life would not be taken. I never revealed the true person of whom I was, and I never revealed my true intentions.
Scrag interrupted and asked, did you love her, sir, at least?
Scrag,
Kramer said,
there are two kinds of women you don't fall in love with. Women you pay for, and women who are married.
Scrag continued to ask, what exactly does one do with a woman, sir?
Kramer quickly turned his head towards Scrag, somewhat annoyed, yet confused and shocked.
I mean, I know babies come from women, but how does a baby get in the belly exactly? And also, what kind of seed does one swallow to make a baby? I mean, I only ask because if I knew what seed that was, I could swallow it myself and get a baby of my own. And
just stop talking, Scrag.
Please,
demanded Kramer.
Sorry, sir,
replied Scrag.
I just thought I'd finally learn where the birds and the bees come into all this. In this way, I could explain to the little princess, should she ask me in the future.
Kramer looks at Scrag with confusion.
Wait, you're being serious? You really don't know?
No, sir,
Scrag responded.
All I know is, magic. Nothing more, sir. Even though I can't really read a lot or count, I learn mostly everything by sight. Most spells and potions don't require more than 10 of any item. And even then, you don't need exact numbers to make potions or formulas. Unless you're making them in massive quantities, then you need exact numbers.
How is this possible? Asked Kramer.
Well, when I was a babe like this little tyke here, I was given up to some troll or elf or little person by the name of Rummel Melvin. Or was it Stiltskin? Or Rumple? Grumple? Anyways, my parents made a deal with him that their firstborn son be given. They got their wish, and he got me. And from as far back as I can remember, he taught me magic of all kinds. Then when I became a mid-kid, I was sold to be in service of our king's father. He never had much use for me, so I stayed in my dwelling place, practicing and learning more and more, until you came asking for my services. Other than the princess here, you're the only other family or friend I have.
Kramer put his hand on his shoulder.
You'll always have a brother in me, as long as I live.
Thank you, sir. From the first time we met, you have always been most kind to me. And now, you have given me a great gift.
What's so great about it? Asked Kramer.
Well, the responsibility itself is a gift, sir. Taking care and thinking of others is one of the greatest gifts that we can bestow upon each other, sir.
Kramer just looked at Scrag, baffled and dumbfounded, because even though Scrag is very dim-witted, he somehow says the most profound things. Kramer closed his eyes while breathing in sharply, trying to focus on what was at hand.
Look, I will need you to care for the child while I'm gone. That is, until I'm able to finish the war.
Absolutely, said Scrag eagerly. Take your time, sir. By the time you're done with this war, I will have had ample time to bond with the little one. I do have one request. You have to strip off your battle robe.
What?
Asked Kramer, rather shocked at the request.
Why?
Well, I will bond with the child, but it still needs to know who its daddy is. And babies mostly recognize things by smell. If I have your robe, then whenever you come to get her, it won't be too hard for her, because she'll know it's you, her daddy.
Kramer just stands there, dumbfounded again.
Here's a man who doesn't even know how the baby-making process works. And yet, he knows bonding techniques for newborns?
Well, are you going to take it off, or do I have to do it?
No. I got it. Just give me a moment.
Kramer said, snapping back to reality. While taking off his robe and his armor, he asked,
And what if my smell wears off?
Oh, don't you worry about that, sir, said Scrag. I've got potions and spells and many tricks up my sleeve. I'll think of something.
Once Kramer was done, he handed Scrag his robe. Scrag put the baby down safely and took the robe, and he shook it and instantly divided it into two robes. He put one robe over the baby and then took the one that he was going to give to Kramer and said,
Asure Protectum.
The robe started to float and glow.
Sir, will you take this gift from me as a token of me thanks?
Asked Scrag. Kramer looked at the robe, then lifted his arms and let the robe fall onto him. The robe wrapped itself around him, and magically, all his armor was back on him after a flash of light.
This robe and this armor, said Scrag, will protect you like your own personal force field. No arrow, flame, sword, dagger, man, or beast will be able to do you harm. I ask that you love this robe, because how you take care of this robe and the positive thoughts and good feelings that you have will transfer through this robe to the robe that the tyke is wrapped in.
Will her robe protect her as well? Asked Kramer.
Why, of course, sir, Scrag said. And it will give her sweet, happy dreams of her and her daddy. This way, it will always seem as if you two have been making memories from the very beginning. Don't worry about her. She's in good hands, sir.
Scrag and Kramer shook hands, and then Kramer kneeled down to where the child was laying and kissed the baby on its forehead.
I will see you later, Shyla. I love you, my child.
Kramer stood back up, nodded at Scrag, who smiled and bowed slightly, and Kramer was off to finish playing his part in the war.
All right, everybody. I hope that you guys enjoyed episode 2 of The Princess Knight, The Princess's Jester, The Queen's Knight. Things are rolling pretty good, right? I like it, right? So, hey, look, guys, by all means, keep listening in. Like I said, within the next few days, we got episode 2 of Divided Kingdom. Yeah! So, by all means, keep listening in. I hope that you like chapter 2 of the Princess Knight, Princess Jester, the Queen's Knight. And by all means, keep listening in. And I want you to look out for Divided Kingdom. And I want you guys to listen out for my good friend, Lai Raish, who will be coming to you with another episode of The Villain's Angle, where he will be, I don't know, who is he supposed to be interviewing? Who? I don't know. I think M. Bison or somebody. I don't know. He's supposed to be interviewing some other villain. I don't know. But, yeah, we got another interview coming up for you guys. And many other great things. Hey, I thank everybody that is working hard at Lootown Productions. I thank everybody that did their part in Anchor, who created this great platform for us. I thank my new friends at SerenityClothingApparel.com. By all means, please check these guys out. And let's see, thank you to all my sponsors. I thank you to everybody who has sent me donations and funding of different types. And by all means, if you would like to become somebody who, is a sponsor, please get in contact with me, via the company, email LRLEWIS. That's LRLewis@Lootown, LEWTOWN.online, not .com, .online, all right? So I want you guys to go ahead and do that. By all means, favorite this podcast channel, so then this way you can hear everything fresh as soon as I put it out there. Once it publishes, bing, you get it on your phone, your laptop, your desktop, whatever it is you're listening to me, it comes straight to you, and it's like, hey, Comic Novels is here. Come take a listen, right? So I want you guys to do that for me, and I want you guys to sit back, listen, and enjoy, and I want you guys to enjoy life, all right? Hey, thank you guys for tuning in again. By all means, hit me up on Facebook, send me a message on Messenger, giving me a wave, saying, hey, I'm with Comic Novels, I'm with the Comic Novel Tribe, and, you know, we can go ahead and touch bases from there, all right? So until next time, everybody, thank you, I love you, and I will talk to you and entertain you later. Take care. Later.